Good morning and welcome to Fulton Focus. Fulton County is your county at your service. And this program is your chance to hear from Fulton County leaders and professional experts and learn about the programs, services, and initiatives that all Fulton County residents can take advantage of to live healthy, prosperous lives in our diverse, growing area. So pour yourself a morning cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy Fulton Focus.
Good morning. I'm WCLK Public Affairs producer Rob Maynard. We've got an interesting program for you today. Coming up in a bit, we will catch up with Fulton County Arts and Culture with a conversation about groundbreaking next week at the new Aviation Community Cultural Center. But first up, we're happy to be joined again on the program by Dr. Patrice Harris. She's the Director of Health Services for Fulton County, and she's here to talk to us about a couple of major health issues currently facing our community. Good morning, Dr. Harris.
Good morning.
June began with a major effort to encourage smokers to talk with their doctor and quit tobacco for good. Can you tell us about this campaign and why it's important all these many years since the Surgeon General told us back in the 1960s that smoking's bad for you?
Well, this is a very important campaign. Nationally, despite that report some 50 years ago, that first Surgeon General's report, still about 1 in 5 U.S. adults are current cigarette smokers, and about 40% of children are exposed to secondhand smoke. So that's why this is still a critical issue for us to talk about. And so the Talk With Your Doctor initiative is the latest part of the Tips from Former Smokers campaign. I'm sure many of your listeners have seen the ads on TV from former smokers. Those have been great ads. And so this is the next phase. And now we have doctors encouraging, the CDC encouraging doctors and patients to talk together about quitting smoking.
And you made a very good point there. Smoking doesn't just harm the health of the smoker. It really harms the health of anybody that comes into contact with them.
Secondhand smoke is one of the leading causes of asthma exacerbations, flare-ups in children and others, the exposure to secondhand smoke. So you're right. Smoking does not just harm the person who's smoking the cigarettes.
And that's not just don't do it in the car with the kids in the car or in the house with the kids in the house. That's don't do it on the front porch if the kids are in the yard playing.
Absolutely, because some recent data has supported that even smokers who smoke outside, they still have the lingering smell and some lingering parts of the cigarettes on their clothing. And so it really is not enough to smoke outside or not smoke in the car.
And as a separate health issue, Fulton County has a major asthma problem. It peaks this time of year when it gets so hot, and there's a lot of other pollutants. Smokers do pose a special problem for people who already have asthma, don't they?
Absolutely. Secondhand smoke, again, is one of the leading causes of asthma flare-ups. And so it's very important that folks are aware, and particularly, as you say, we have a significant problem with asthma in our county, and Fulton County is working on that through our asthma coalition. But stopping smoking is a critical piece in the battle against making asthma worse for others.
You're listening to Fulton Focus this morning. Fulton County is your county at your service. And our guest this morning is Dr. Patrice Harris. She's the Director of Health Services for Fulton County. And we're talking about a major initiative to try to get everyone to stop smoking. Something new that I've seen a lot of, and I don't know how much you are able to comment on this, Dr. Harris, but see a lot of things about e-cigarettes, and there's an implication there that they're safer, they're better, they're less, you know, nasty, if you will. Are e-cigarettes any safer than traditional cigarettes?
So thank you for raising this point. I think there's been a lot of attention, and you see in the media talk about e-cigarettes. This is nicotine and a different nicotine delivery device. I will tell you the jury is still out. We still need much more data to study this issue. So folks should not assume that it's necessarily safer. We need to do more research.
But to your point, if somebody is inhaling the vapors from an e-cigarette, they are still ingesting nicotine.
That's right.
If you are a smoker at this point, you should at least have the knowledge and the courage that you can make that change, because there are a number of tried and proven methods that people can use to quit, aren't there?
There are, and it's important that patients talk with their physicians about particular methods or options that work best for them. As usual, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. We've all heard stories where people can quit cold turkey, if you will. We also know that folks have used the nicotine patches or nicotine gum, and there are some new medications. All of them work. It's just a matter of what works best for the particular individual. And so that's, again, getting back to the talk with your doctor campaign. That's a perfect time to talk with your doctor about the best way to quit and the options available out there. Again, I have to say tobacco use is the leading cause of preventable death and disease in our country. And so as physicians, as we are in Fulton County, we're extremely motivated to get people to stop smoking.
And it's hard to give up smoking. That's a very powerful addiction. I don't think anybody's going to deny that it would be very taxing. So you need to make this kind of decision with your doctor. Dr. Harris, is chewing the nicotine gum or using the transdermal patch, that's still better than smoking, isn't it?
Yeah, so the gum and the patch are two ways, among others, that the physicians can use together with their patients to stop smoking. So, yes, again, using the gum and not smoking, or using the patch and working on not smoking, has been proven to be successful.
If we have a listener who's got a friend or a loved one who's still smoking in 2013, how can they be supportive of that person's efforts to try and quit without being a nag that they tune out? I mean, how do you help somebody through this?
That's a very good question. And I think being supportive, knowing that people quit and then they may start again, and they quit and they may start again. So it's just a matter of being encouraging. Perhaps if they say, remind me when you see me pick up a cigarette, please, you know, tap me on the shoulder or gently remind me that I'm trying to quit smoking. So it's really all about being supportive.
Or maybe even remind them how much a pack of cigarettes costs in this day and age, because that's a scary number, if you ask me.
Well, certainly cigarettes are expensive, and a lot of folks, I've talked to some patients who do quit. One of the many reasons they quit is because the cost of a pack of cigarettes.
According to the American Lung Association, nearly 160,000 Americans died from lung cancer in 2012. That's more than those who died from pancreas, breast, prostate, and colon cancer combined. Our own researchers here at the Cancer Center at Clark Atlanta tell you that lung cancer is the most easily preventable cancer. Don't smoke and you are very unlikely to suffer from it. Do you think young people are taking this message to heart? Are we going to see far fewer smokers 10 years down the line here?
Well, that is our hope. And certainly we've seen some decrease in smoking among youth, but still not enough. You know, we want to get to the point where smoking is a minor public health nuisance rather than the major public health problem that it is. And this is one message that we really want to remind our patients and our nation's healthcare providers of the importance of talking with folks about tobacco use and exposure to secondhand smoke, and getting folks to a place where they can say, I've finally quit.
Where can our listeners find some resources to help them or the ones they love put down this nasty and dangerous habit?
Well, there's a toll-free 1-800-QUIT-NOW, quit line, or they can visit CDC. And I think you're going to also mention this later, but it's www.cdc.gov/tips.
So cdc.gov/tips. Or the 1-800-QUIT-NOW quit line, that's 1-800-784-8669. Well, it sounds hopeful in some ways and still kind of scary in many others, particularly if you live with a smoker. You know that that's a ticking time bomb.
Yes, the message is clear. If you're a smoker, quitting is one of the best things you can do for your health and the health of others around you. And physicians in this country and those of us in Fulton County working on our initiatives are here to help give you the best chance of success.
You're listening to Fulton Focus. We're talking health with Fulton County Director of Health Services, Dr. Patrice Harris. We'll be right back. Shifting gears a bit here, Fulton County has a lot of overweight citizens. And there was big news out of the American Medical Association this week about obesity. Fulton County Director of Health Services, Dr. Patrice Harris, is an AMA board member in addition to her work for Fulton County. Dr. Harris, what can you tell us about this news?
So let's just step back a moment and realize that 1 in 3 Americans are obese, according to the CDC. And recognizing obesity as a disease will help change the way the medical community tackles this complex issue that, again, affects about 1 in 3 Americans. We know the health and financial burden of obesity on our country is devastating. Physicians are on the front line of treating this disease. And so the American Medical Association wanted to elevate this issue, get people to pay attention to the seriousness of the situation.
In calling obesity a disease, is the AMA, by recognizing this, are they saying that obesity is a mental and physical issue, like, say, addiction, or is it a purely physical condition like Alzheimer's or ALS?
So I think neither of those analogies fit exactly, but the issue is that obesity has multiple causes. There are behavioral factors, there are medical factors, different biochemical, I'm using sort of big words here, and physiological factors in the body that could lead to folks being overweight or obese. And so the key issue is that the AMA wanted to recognize this as a disease and hopefully get folks to talk with their doctors about their particular issue. There is no one size fits all, and not everyone is overweight or obese for the same set of reasons. And so it's really important to individualize this.
The AMA, in calling obesity a disease, has that created a watershed moment in our medical history? How might that change the treatment of obesity going forward?
Well, certainly many in the medical community and others have known that being overweight and or being obese can lead to other significant health problems, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. And so recognizing obesity as a disease, again, will increase the conversation about this. We hope, the AMA hopes, that this will encourage necessary greater investments to study and limit the disease. And it also may encourage payers, third-party payers, Medicare and Medicaid, to begin to look at their practices and policies regarding reimbursement for obesity and obesity-related services.
So there might be procedures or prescriptions that aren't covered at this point that might end up being covered and make it more attainable for someone of limited means to get these sort of treatments.
Yes, we certainly hope that this would spur the conversation to talk more about that. And also want to, to add that the AMA is committed to improving health outcomes. And we're already had made a commitment to reduce the incidence of cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes, and those two issues are often linked to obesity. So all of this fits in a new movement towards improving the health outcomes of the folks in this country.
Exercise and proper nutrition, that's not only a commitment of time and effort, but they also generally end up costing more than a lot of people might be able to afford. Is it possible to lose weight if you're living and working at subsistence level?
Well, certainly we know that there are these social determinants of health. And what we say is where you live, work, and play could have just as great an effect on your health as what you eat and how you exercise. And so it really is a combination of factors. And so that's why it's important to have safe places to walk, to encourage activity. And also, we want to make sure that fresh fruits and vegetables are accessible to all communities.
Because it's a lot cheaper to feed the kids off the dollar menu than it is to plan a meal with vegetables and fiber and healthy choices.
Well, what we always say is we want to make the healthy choice the easy choice.
What kind of resources does Fulton County offer people in the county when it comes to fighting obesity?
Well, certainly we are raising the level of awareness about obesity. We have a particular focus on childhood obesity. We have a newly renovated campus, the Oak Hill Child, Adolescent, and Family Center. And folks that come to services at our campus will be able to also take advantage of the play area, so that they can remain active. We do hope to, in the near future, and we'll keep you posted on this, offer specific services for children who are struggling with being overweight and or obese.
Yeah, it's an increasing issue with kids. When I was a kid, I didn't have an excuse for being as fat because I was outside every day running around and playing. Kids today are in front of the screen or with the headphones on, you know, not moving around very much.
As we look at that, we do need to look at things like limiting TV time and limiting time in front of the video games. It's about getting out and getting active. You may also be familiar with the Georgia Shape program, and that's a program working with the schools to have our youth more active during the day in schools. And it's all about getting up and moving around. It doesn't have to be going to the gym. And it doesn't have to be about specific exercises, but it's about getting out and moving, and walking is a great way to do that. But again, as I stated earlier, we want to make sure that our citizens have safe places to do just that, to walk.
You know, Dr. Harris, I've got you here, and I know that your background to some degree is involved in psychology and health outcomes. And, you know, people, and I'm one of them, people don't overeat because they're hungry, for the most part. They overeat because the food makes them feel good, or it covers up unhappy feelings, or it was a behavior they picked up from their family or childhood that they never let go of. What's the best way for people to come to terms with the psychological causes of obesity?
Well, thank you. And you're right. I am a psychiatrist, and you make some good points there. And that gets back to talking with your physician so that you can understand the causes of being overweight, overeating, or being obese that are unique to you, the individual patient, and then working with your physician to come up with a treatment plan. It may be working with a nutritionist. It may be working with a therapist or a psychiatrist. It may be taking medications. For some folks, it may be surgery. The key point is there is no one-size-fits-all approach. You talk to your physician about what your individual needs are and develop a treatment plan based on your needs.
And the first thing is get in front of the physician. And then the second thing is you ask the physician some questions. Usually they're asking you questions, but take an extra few minutes and make sure that you get heard and understood by them.
That is exactly right. And we hope, the American Medical Association hopes, that, again, this policy raises the level of awareness and encourages folks to talk with their doctors about their options.
Well, the American Medical Association has termed obesity a disease, and this is going to have potentially huge implications for public and private health across America. Dr. Patrice Harris is the Fulton County Director of Health Services. She's also an AMA board member that was a part of this decision. Dr. Harris, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about this issue and other important health issues in the county.
Well, thank you for the opportunity for us to get the word out.
Our next guest is Lisa Tuttle. She's the newly appointed interim director of the Fulton County Department of Arts and Culture. Welcome to Fulton Focus today.
Thanks for having me on your show today.
Fulton County breaks ground next week on a new multi-purpose facility and community gathering place based on the history of North American aviation. It's going to be called the Aviation Community Cultural Center. Can you tell us about next Thursday's event and what the new Aviation Community Cultural Center is all about?
The groundbreaking is very exciting because it's something that's been a long time coming, and it's a facility that will be the Aviation Community Cultural Center, and it's going to be on the grounds of Charlie Brown Airport, which is along Fulton Industrial Boulevard.
Breaking ground on this, so this is going to be a completely purpose-built facility?
It's a kind of a healthy mix, and I like to say that the name says it all. It's aviation. It's going to have aviation programming, cultural programming, and community programming, and it all in one center.
And of course, Atlanta being sort of a center for the aviation business traditionally over many years, both military and, you know, when you think of Delta and Eastern and various airlines and the huge airport, this is an opportunity maybe to get some young people at an airport in a venue where maybe they feel that vibe and head off in a whole direction for their lives.
Absolutely. Career training and those kinds of things are getting young people in particular excited about the field of aviation. And, you know, as arts, the arts and culture can really do make you feel and think something, maybe more than maybe just the facts. So that's what will be going on. But in terms of aviation, we hope to have some historical exhibits, collaborating with Auburn Avenue Research Center. And there's so much. There's such a rich history there, both and contemporary ideas. We may have lectures. We might have films. We could have youth programs. There's a wonderful group that's operates nearby called ACE that's all about getting kids excited about flying, actual flying, and then also some aviation career training opportunities also for adults.
And again, this is the Aviation Community Cultural Center. This is going to be a real jewel for Fulton County. It's going to be located at the Charlie Brown Airport in District 5 of the Fulton County Commission System. And we're talking about it this morning with Lisa Tuttle. Lisa is the newly appointed interim director of the Fulton County Department of Arts and Culture. Lisa, it's interesting to me, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen story now goes back some 60 plus years, and there was a time certainly in the African American community where everybody knew the Tuskegee Airmen. That was at top of mind. George Lucas had a movie come out recently, Red Tails, that caught a lot of people's imagination. But the new Aviation Community Cultural Center is going to have an exhibit that people locally can learn more about the Tuskegee Airmen, doesn't it?
Well, among many exhibits, you'll see when you look at the architecture, the architectural design of the building, that the architects really took a cue from the Tuskegee Airmen. So their Red Tail, you'll see the elements of that. The building, actually, if you have an aerial view of it, actually is laid out somewhat like the airplanes. We would like to have some exhibits about the Tuskegee Airmen, and of course we have many of them who are living in this area. It won't be exclusively. I think a lot of people have thought that this was going to be a Tuskegee Airmen Museum, and it will certainly honor all North American aviation, but in particular the contributions of African Americans to aviation.
The center is going to be there. You're breaking ground on it. In about a year, we'll have this facility up and running. How will the community be involved in being in and around the Aviation Community Cultural Center on a regular basis?
Well, that's very important because community has been involved all along. As many of your listeners may know, Commissioner Darnell, this is in District 5, believes strongly in starting with the community first. She's very clear about that, and she likes to keep them involved all the way along, all the way through with community meetings and community input. So one of the things that's important about this center is that it will be a place for gatherings for that community that really doesn't have a lot of places in their area to do that. So there'll be a large community multi-purpose meeting room that'll be available for events and civic events, community gatherings. For the Carroll Heights, Adamsville, Collier Heights, and Fairburn Heights neighborhoods in particular, but it will also be available to anyone who really would like to have a gathering in that area.
And what sort of cultural offerings are planned at this space?
Well, being the Department of Arts and Culture, that's the part we really thrive or really do well, I think. So we're planning, in addition to the aviation exhibits, we'll have another space that will be for contemporary art exhibitions or current art exhibitions, often probably having some kind of association with flight as well. And then there are art classrooms. There'll be visual arts classes and dance classes that will be offered at the facility for youth, teens, and adults. And of course, there's some great possibilities for summer camps.
And so this is the Aviation Community Cultural Center. The groundbreaking is June the 27th. That's this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. If people want to attend this event, how do they go about doing that? Because this is going to be the start of something big.
Well, the event will be free. We invite anybody who'd like to come. It'll be at 11 a.m. Commissioner Darnell will be there, and that we'll have a bit of a program. There'll be a tent set up out in the empty lot, and then we'll have a real groundbreaking. So if they'd like to come, there's free parking there, and it'll be from about 11 to 12 on Thursday morning.
And they need to contact in advance the Arts and Culture Office, Cicely Tillman at 404-612-5780. Lisa Tuttle, Interim Director, Fulton County Arts and Culture, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Fulton Focus, a joint production of Fulton County Communications and WCLK Public Affairs. Fulton County is your county at your service. If you would like more information about county policies, initiatives, or events, please call the Office of Communications at 404-612-8300. We're also online at www.fultoncountyga.gov, where you can subscribe to our Fulton Focus e-newsletter. You can become a fan of Fulton County government on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by typing in at Fulton Info. Fulton Focus is produced by Erica Davis, Rob Maynard, and Marky Lofton. Thanks for listening.